Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Real Estate Investor Goddesses podcast. I'm your host, Monique Hom, and I am here with another fabulous real estate investor goddess interview. And our goddess today is a woman that helps. She's not only is she a successful investor, but she's also a tax expert. One of the main benefits of investing in real estate is the tax savings it can help you create. And our guest today knows all about that, is going to share about some important tax considerations for us, especially in light of last year's new tax law that was passed in 2017. Marie is the founder of Grassmeyer Business Consulting. She's a CPA providing tax and consulting services to domestic and international individuals and businesses. Marie is also a certified management accountant, certified global management accountant, and a registered trust and estate practitioner. She specializes in assisting foreign investors with their U.S. tax and compliance needs, and she also enjoys working with entrepreneurs through the entire life cycle of a business, from startup to succession planning. She's fluent in Swedish, and she's developed a niche in assisting clients from Scandinavia. Actually grew up in Sweden. Marie is a member of the American Institute of CPAs, the Florida Institute of CPAs, the Institute of Management Accountants, and STEP International, and I'm so thrilled to have her here. Welcome, Marie.
Thank you, Monique. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited for the opportunity to share tax tips for real estate investors.
Great. So before we get into the tax tips, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your story in real estate investing, because you're an investor yourself. How did you get started in real estate investing?
Well, my husband and I actually got started in real estate investing as soon as we got married. We started out small, like most people, renting out our condo instead of selling it when we bought our first house. So I think that's a great way to really start out small and try it out. It worked well for us, and since then we have invested in land, single-family houses, and condos here in Florida where we currently live.
Okay, great. So you're an investor yourself, but really, I wanted to get you here to share a little bit more about the tax side, because it's such an important part of real estate investing here in the U.S. So what are some of the tax benefits of investing in real estate?
Well, there are a lot of tax benefits, for real estate investors, and that goes to whether you hold title directly in your personal name or hold it in one of your businesses, or if you're a passive investor in a syndication or in a real estate investment trust or any other type of entity or joint venture. So I figured let's start by talking about holding an investment in your own name or an entity that you self-manage, because this is the easiest way to get started. So, for example, like what we had a condo, we rented it out, and usually we'll have a regular, monthly cash flow. But even if you have a positive cash flow after your, operating expenses, depreciation will often generate a tax loss. So depreciation is a non-cash expense. So, for example, let's say you buy a condo for $500,000. It's residential real estate, and it will be depreciated over 27 and a half years using a straight line method. So in that example, the annual tax deduction for depreciation is just around $18,000, which really helps you, reduce income. And it can offset income from other sources other than rental as well. Using the same example, if you bought a commercial property, you would write it off over 39 years instead of 27 and a half, and then that annual deduction will be around, $12,800. So that's one good thing about depreciation. And then also, of course, if you borrow funds for a rental property, your tenant essentially pays off the property for you, and you can take a tax deduction for the interest. And then, of course, at the same time, you're building equity and you're building wealth by having that tenant in there.
Yeah, awesome. So I just want to highlight some things you said, because I think a lot of people don't realize this. Even though you're making money in real estate, because of the way the tax laws are structured, you, on paper, it looks like you've lost money. So
right.
You are making money, but then you end up paying less taxes. So I don't know, you know, no one's seen Donald Trump's bank accounts, tax returns, because he hasn't shared them, but
right.
I wouldn't be
right.
surprised if his tax burden is zero because of the way the tax laws are written, and because even though you're making money on paper, it looks like you're losing money. So it's
right.
pretty incredible
to-
that way.
Yes, and going back to depreciation, there's also other vehicles and schemes you can use. For example, accelerated depreciation. You can do a cost segregation study to get a more accelerated depreciation and take more expenses in the early years. So you can work with the timing of those deductions. And then, so I talked about owning it or managing yourself. Of course, you can have a property management company help with the management, but you can also put your funds into more of a passive investment, you know, where you do not have to be involved in the management. So that would be if you put your money into, you know, a real estate investment trust or another type of vehicle where you earn a fixed return in the form of interest or dividends or disbursements or a tax credit that you can utilize. So there are many different ways to say that can give you benefits for tax purposes.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, we have so I syndicate commercial properties, apartment buildings, and the like, and our investors get part of the depreciation as well. So even though they
right.
might be
right.
and they're passive, they still get to enjoy those tax benefits. So that's really great. So I know that, so last year there was a tax law that was passed. What are some of the major changes from last year's tax law that apply to real estate investors?
Yeah, so there's a few of the new rules that I want to highlight that really can benefit our listeners here. And we're talking about the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and it was effective as of January 2018. So if you haven't filed your 17 taxes yet, because you, as an individual, you have until October this year, it won't affect those taxes. But going forward for the 2018 year, this is what we're going to be talking about now. So a lot of investors, a lot of my clients, they hold their real estate in pass-through entities. And what I'm referring to are entities that passes through the items of income and expenses to their owners, such as, you know, a partnership, an S corporation, or a limited liability company that has not made an election to be taxed as another type of entity. So the new law here says that only 80% of the net profits from a trade or business, including rental real estate, is exempt from tax. So you're basically getting a 20% exemption from taxable income. And that's great. Oh. You know, you just
all
get
right, so
to be taxed on 80% instead of 100%. And then for many ultimate investors, they're individuals. The maximum tax rate has been lowered from 39.6% to 29.6%. So not only is 20% of taxable income exempt, but the remaining profits are taxed at a 10% lower rate. Yeah.
Wow.
So
amazing.
The word on the street is that this will have a huge impact on all businesses, because approximately 95% of all U.S. businesses are taxed as pass-through entities. So we're going to see a great benefit here, I think.
Great.
And something else I wanted to highlight, and this is good for, you know, anyone that's really self-employed. You know, a lot of my clients are realtors, brokers, property managers. They have their own businesses, and they're considered to be self-employed and use their vehicles for business purposes. So we have something that's called Section 179, which allows new business assets to be deducted in the year you purchase them instead of having to capitalize them and depreciate it. So you probably heard of this. It's been around for some years. It was called the SUV loophole or the Hummer deduction, where you could write off $25,000 of an SUV or heavy truck that qualified. And to qualify, it had to weigh more than 6,000 pounds fully loaded and be in a truck chassis. So there were all these lists of vehicles that were qualified. But it was still limited to the 25,000, and then you could take depreciation on the remaining basis. But this new law now going forward in 18, you can combine this Section 179 deduction with 100% bonus depreciation, which basically lets you write off the entire cost of the vehicle. And you can take a loan on it. You don't have to purchase it for cash. So so to give you an example to show what I mean, let's say, you know, you make $500,000, you have $400,000 of expenses, so your net profit is $100,000. You buy a vehicle for $100,000, and now your income is zero. So if you look at federal income tax at 20% and self-employment tax at 15.3%, you're basically saving, you know, 35.3% in taxes. So I think we're going to see a lot of big vehicles being purchased before the end of the year here.
And so this is just for vehicles, bigger vehicles, right? They have to weigh a certain amount.
Yeah, okay. There's a list. So these are your big SUVs and trucks.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And there are specified lists of exactly which vehicles will qualify.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
That's very cool. And the last thing I wanted to touch base on is also something new out of this law that basically said that all the governors in the U.S. could identify opportunity zones, basically zones that were underdeveloped, low income, that needed a boost. So there's a provision that an investor can set up a fund called an opportunity fund in an opportunity zone, and investors that have capital gains, unrealized capital gains, or realized capital gains. So let's say you have stock in the stock market that you know have appreciated, but you just leave it there because you don't want to pay the capital gain. Or you sold an investment property, you have this huge capital gain, and maybe, you know, you were thinking about doing a 1031 like an exchange to defer it, but you didn't. Well, let's say you recognize the gain, whether it's from the stock market or from a property. You have 180 days to put it into this fund. And then after 5 years, you can defer 10% of the capital gain. If you hold that investment another 2 years for 7 years, you can defer another 5. So now you deferred 15% on the original 100% gain. Now, if you leave that investment in that fund for another 3 years for a total of 10, you get a 100% step up in basis of the appreciation in the fund itself. So when you sell that investment after 10 years, you don't pay any capital gain on that last appreciation. So we also think that this will give the economy a great boost to actually get those capital gains out of, you know, the market being unrealized and getting to use in these zones all over the countries where, you know, development can take place. So,
so
we're waiting to see a lot more
about
this. Yeah.
So I want to make sure I understand and our listeners understand. So you have these, you have capital gains, you've sold some investment, whether property, real property or stocks, and you would like to avoid the capital gains. You're not doing a 1031. So you're going to put that money into an opportunity fund. Is that a fund that you have to start yourself, or you can invest? Somebody else has an opportunity fund and you're just putting in money? How does that
Either or. So you can look for funds that are already created, or you can create your own.
Okay.
So, and we're waiting for more guidance on how this is going to work. But it's basically a self-certifying process where, you know, you have to make sure that your fund is in a zone that's approved. And then that fund has to reinvest the money into either a business that operates in that zone or in business property. you know, okay. And when it comes to real estate, significant improvements have to be made to that property, but we're waiting for guidance on what significant improvement really means. But I think it will be based on facts and circumstances. You know, you buy an old hotel and then you revamp it, or you demolish it and you build a new one. Things like that, I think, would qualify.
All right. Very interesting. It's not surprising that the president who architected this tax law was a real estate investor, because it's a very beneficial law for real estate.
There you go.
Yeah. So now switching gears slightly, but what are some of the biggest mistakes that real estate investors make regarding their taxes? I mean, there are a lot of things that you can do to use real estate to save taxes, but what are some of the mistakes that you see?
Well, one of the mistakes that I see is going back to these passive activities versus active activities, because sometimes, especially when you have rental real estate, those losses can be suspended. So passive losses are generally only deductible to the extent of passive income, but there are some exceptions. So a special rule for individuals is that, let's say, you know, you just have one rental property, it will let you deduct up to $25,000 of losses from rental real estate on a joint return.
Okay.
So, but sometimes if you're modified adjusted gross income, and that's kind of like, let's think of it as your total income is over a certain limit, and that's usually $150,000 for your joint return, those passive losses are starting to be phased out, so you may not be able to take advantage on it. So the timing is important between all of your investments to time the losses and the profits. And then there's also rules for real estate professionals. So if you are a real estate professional and you have these types of losses, and you actively materially participate in the management of your investments, then, you know, you're able to take the losses as well. So that's one thing that people sometimes, well, why can't I take my loss? Well, this is why, and we should have talked about it before, you know, when we did your tax planning.
Okay.
Another thing, and we did talk about this in conjunction with the SUV example, a lot of these investors are considered self-employed because they don't get paid on a W-2 from a third-party employer. And then in addition to the income tax, you're also subject to the self-employment tax, which represents both the employer's and employee's portion of Social Security taxes and Medicare taxes. And that's something that I do work with a lot of realtors, and they say, well, why do I have to pay this? I have all these other deductions. Well, with self-employment tax, it's like a separate own system, so you can't eliminate the self-employment tax by, for example, you know, itemized deductions, standard deductions, or tax credits. That's something also to be aware of when you are investing.
Okay. All right. And other mistakes that you see people make?
Sometimes perhaps not being prepared, not doing their due diligence, maybe just jumping on an investment without, you know, talking to their professionals, their team of advisors, to really see if it was something that that was viable. And sometimes, unfortunately, when friends and family members go into business together, they don't have a proper operating agreement or bylaws. So if something happens between them, you know, things can get very ugly. So I would definitely say, especially if you invest with other partners, to have those documents in place.
Yes, so crucial.
It's
definitely something that, you know, I think when people are investing with folks that they're close to, family members, friends, they go, oh, you know, that's my brother or my friend. I don't need an agreement with them, right? But I would say if you care about the relationship, then you particularly need an agreement.
Yeah.
Because clear agreements don't jeopardize relationships. They save them. And then also your money. So it's so important that people have clear agreements between them.
Absolutely. You know, Monique, I do work with a lot of foreign investors. I know we mentioned that before. And one big mistake that I see a lot for them is that they are not aware of the FIRPTA. So that is, the FIRPTA is 15% mandatory withholding tax when a non-U.S. person disposes of U.S. real property. And that gets taken out at closing and remitted, and it's being remitted to the IRS at closing. And it could be a huge surprise because it's based on 15% of the gross sales price and has no correlation to the actual 15% of the, you know, tax on the taxable income. So it doesn't take into consideration the basis or any closing costs. And I've had a lot of calls, you know, from the closing table, what is going on? It's like, well, you should have consulted with me first. You should have, you know, someone should have told you that this existed and we could have mitigated it prior to closing. But at closing, there's not really anything we can do because we have to do a withholding certificate prior to closing if we are going to mitigate that withholding.
Oh, my gosh. So you, there's a, we have a client who lives in Sweden, per se. They bought a property here, and they're selling it as $1 million property. Well, the sale price is $1 million, so they're going to owe 15%, like $150,000, to the government.
It's going to be remitted to the IRS from the closing proceeds, and then the taxpayer have the opportunity to file a tax return for the year of the sale and show the IRS, well, I actually had basis, and this is my taxable gain, this is my, you know, tax liability, which is this much smaller than the 15% you withheld, so I now request a refund. But, you know, if you go to closing early in the year, and you have to wait a whole year to file the return, and then wait another, you know, 3 months on the refund, that's a lot of lost money that you could put into better use and earn a return on, versus having it in the IRS.
Okay. Well, that's something important for international investors to know.
Yeah,
and let
definitely.
Me ask you, so if about that, because as a syndicator who sometimes has investors from outside of the country, would this affect? To say you have a passive investor who's an international investor, would that affect the investment as well?
So, for example, if you have it set it up as a partnership or LLC. What would happen in that case, we would forego the actual source of withholding, but the partnership would have to withhold the tax on behalf of the foreign partner. So you would when you calculate the gain on the sales transaction, you would allocate the pro rata share to the foreign partners, and then the partnership would have to withhold and remit the tax on behalf of those foreign partners. So it would, you know, it would be something that you would have considered for your foreign partners, yes.
Okay. Wow. All right. That's good to know. I did not know that. So let me ask you another question. We're getting towards the end of our time, but this is interesting for me that we've been in the weeds. What type of legal entity is best for real estate investors? Is there, you know, we've talked about different entities that people might be in. What would you say is best?
Yeah, and I actually do a whole seminar on this because there are so many factors that need to be considered. So I would say depends on the overall strategic plan, depends on the client's short, mid, and long-term goals and objectives. It depends on how active the person wants to be in the day-to-day management. And it would also depend on if they plan on bringing in other investors into this, specific investment, and if any of those entities or individuals are foreign. So I think it's really important to look at the whole picture and also speak with the client's attorneys and other advisors before I, you know, make a recommendation. Okay. Having said that, right now the most common entity is either a single member or a multi-member LLC followed by a partnership. That's really a very easy way to structure it. I often steer people away from the traditional C corporation because of double taxation and other issues. But for some investors, and particularly some of my investors from Malaysia and from, you know, Europe, they like the C corporation because of certain, you know, treaties and for disclosure purposes.
Okay.
And then I also have a lot of foreign investors that are in REITs. It's an easy way, it's an attractive way to hold real estate, and, you know, you get a guaranteed dividend and you know, a certain return on investment. So I think that is something that should be considered as well.
Fantastic. And for those of you who don't know, a REIT is a real estate investment trust.
Well, yes.
All right, cool. So how do you work with investors for tax planning and wealth building?
I like to be proactive with my clients and work with their team. I think I said that 3 times now because it's really important. I like to, you know, identify innovative strategies for my clients that fit their needs. You know, I'm big on listening. I try to understand what it is they're looking for. You know, if they're foreign investors, do they want to come here on a visa? What type of visa do they need? Do they want to become a citizen? Do they want their children to be coming here to go to school? And I try to, you know, try to work with them for the optimal solution. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, that's great. There's so many, as you were saying, there are a lot of different variables that can go into deciding like what kind of entity to do and where,
yeah,
you know, and how you want to be. So it's great that you take the time to find out everyone's needs, because as I say, real estate investing is not one size fits all. you have to meet the person where they're at. To the school.
Yeah.
And what's the
yeah.
best way for those interested in finding out more about what you do or working with you? What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
So my website is www.mariecpa.com, and that's MarieCPA.com, or email me at marie@mariecpa.com. I try to keep it easy, so there's no spelling of my last name involved. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way, either website or email.
Okay, fantastic. MarieCPA.com. And
yeah.
Lastly, it's time for our end of show Trinity, our famed end of show Trinity. What's one thing you are celebrating right now?
I am celebrating the opportunity to contribute to your book, Wealth for Women.
Yay.
I'm really excited for the book. And, you know, I'm also excited to participate in your conference in November in LA. So I'm celebrating that.
Yes. Yay. I'm celebrating that too. So I have talked about this before in the podcast, but briefly, y'all, we have there's a book coming out this month of September. It's called Wealth for Women, Conversations with a Team That Creates the Dream. And in that book are interviews with 15 incredible women team members, people that are so important for being successful in real estate investing. And Marie is one of our featured. She's the featured CPA for that book. So that's going to be coming out, and I'll let you guys know when it does. But I'm so excited that you're in the book, Marie. And she's mentioned our wealth through real estate event, which is happening November 2nd through 4th in Los Angeles. And you can join us there by going to wealththroughrealestateevent.com. And you'll get to meet Marie there and me.
Yay.
And a bunch of other incredible women. So, yay.
Yeah.
Well bragged. And what's one thing you're grateful for?
I am grateful, you know, every day for, you know, my family, for our health, and for the people who have helped me, guided me, mentored me in my life. I mean, I'm incredibly blessed, and it's, you know, it's always hard to pick one thing, but if I have to pick one thing, it would have to be my daughter. She's my everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband and I were married 12 years before we were blessed with her. So I love her.
Oh, beautiful. And lastly, what's one thing you desire?
That's a hard one. You know, I always desire to help people, and I feel that I do that in my business and in my volunteer work. I try to be helpful. I try to be a good person, and I think just trying to do that every day, and you know, happiness and inner peace will follow.
Beautiful. So your desire is to just help more people every day.
Yes.
All right. Well, so shall your desire be, or so much better than you can imagine. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. That was so informative and great. And so, again, you guys can reach Marie at www.mariecta.com or marie@mariecta.com. And you can meet her live at the Wealth Through Real Estate event happening November 2nd through 4th. Again, go to wealththroughrealestateevent.com to register. And if you use the code WEALTHY, WEALTHY, all caps, you're going to get a significant discount. So join us there and join us next week for another Real Estate Investor Goddess interview. Thanks and bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.